title of my sermon tonight, thanks Rudy, is when thunder hits the ground. And let me paint the picture here where this comes from. It's a term that's actually coined by a guy in America, and I just love the whole thinking around it. Let me use an analogy. Let's say you worship, like tonight, or you read your Bible at home, or you sing to God, you pray. Let's call that thunder. Just kind of worship thunder just for a while. You see God, you sit under the message, lights go on, some things click with you, it's like thunder, you see it. You sing about Him, you read about Him, there's small group, there's a connection with God there. It's like thunder in the air. You know what my fear is? Is that my worship to God, my connection with His people, His church, my singing to Him, what if all that just stays in the air? It's there. What if it never comes down through my life on this earth? What if everything I do is just there? It's a nice idea. I love the revelation that God gives me. I like the ideas and songs, but that's where it stays. It stays there. And it never hits, boom, through my life on earth. It never makes waves. It never inspires. It never calls out criticism or praise. It's just there. That's my biggest fear. I want to talk tonight about when thunder hits the ground, when someone who believes in Jesus acts through his life. Something God has done for him, reflected through his life, boom, right there. Thunder hitting the ground. Are you with me? I thought about my life and I got a picture. I'm like, I've got different areas of my life, different boxes, if you will. So, I mean, who works full time here? Okay, almost everyone. Who's got a family? Because that's two boxes. Who's got hobbies? Who's got a girlfriend? Okay. Some single guys left, girls, don't worry. All of us can at least have kind of four boxes here. Okay, I've got my hobby, I've got my work, I've got my family at home, and I've got all these different sections of my life, and I could classify my life like that as well. And it's in a way, I see my life like all these little boats, hobby, sports, maybe that's the same thing, marriage, work, etc. And I can see all these little boats almost going in the same direction. But the problem is they're all still different boxes. And I'm thinking, being in Christ, being a new creation, I would like to tie my life together on one boat. Everything, who I am, where I live, where I express myself, out of one place, being in unity with Christ. Sometimes we like to be a certain way in this box, but in this box we act a whole lot different. At home, maybe I'm loving, but at work, I'm the opposite. And then with my hobby, I've got this other kind of thing that I carry in front of me. I've got all these personalities, but tonight is about getting it all together in the identity Christ has given you and living flat out. Let me start with a bang. Romans 11, verse 36. Yes. Check this out. I'm talking about all these little different areas in our lives, right? For from Him and through Him and to Him are what? What? Excluding? All things, okay? For Him and through Him and to Him are all things. And I'm thinking to myself, what's the catch here? What does the Greek say? There must be some deeper meaning. You know what I'm saying? But now it just means all things. Every little thing in your life, around you, in you, that you can touch, every person you can be with, anything you can behold, it is from Him and it is to Him so that He can be glorified. Get that? Am I saying this mic is from God? Yes. And this cable, this computer, this mic is being used for God's purposes right now. Your t-shirt, God's purpose, everything. I mean, you can exclude nothing in your life. It means when you walk tomorrow into your office where you work, that moment when you walk in is from God. The moment when you greet the first person is from God. That person is from God. Everything you have, every situation you will be in, it is from God and intended by Him for His glory. How are we doing? How are we doing, guys? Who's doing well? Who wants to do better? Okay, all of us. All things to Him. Let me just get some reality check it. Better just come and stand. What time do you wake up in the morning?
Sometimes 2, sometimes...
Oh, you've got a baby. Okay. What time do you go to work?
9. Sometimes 7, sometimes 10.
I hear from the guys, you kind of hang around until you want to go to work. Okay, you go to work and then, I mean, how many people work with you?
20.
20 people. And how many are you senior over? Are you like a manager of a few people?
No, I'm like, right, no. There's a couple of guys that I help out.
10?
5, 6.
Yeah, how many guys are over you, authority over you?
Sky's the limit.
Sky's the limit. Sussle's a dark place. Okay, and do you go to home and do you live alone? Is there someone else that lives with you?
Yes, my wife and my daughter.
Okay. Wife and your daughter, do you like spend every evening alone? Sometimes have friends over?
Sometimes I...
And have a lot of friends?
Yeah, I have some friends.
You've got 2 dogs. Anyways, you can sit down. I'm just trying to, like, I took Barrett, really boring life, okay? But still, I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening, about 20 people working with him, about 5 working under his command, about what I perceive, 500,000 above you, shouting out orders. But I'm just saying, all I see is all things through God and to God. Every person God has placed under Barrett, under his influence, to see what God is doing in Barrett's life. Those guys that even know, they are waiting for Barrett to come to work. They're waiting for Barrett. Your boss don't know it, Barrett, and same for you guys, but he is waiting to see how you're going to respond when he gives you your next order. The way you respond is going to be a moment which is intended to be from God, through God, and to God. Don't let grace be in vain. Amen? Barrett, sorry, I'm picking on you. You're my buddy. You can sort me out afterwards. Check this out. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31, it gets worse. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, excluding what, Chris? You know, I wanted to make that joke, and you said going to the toilet, but I didn't say that. I'm not even going to finish that verse right there. I just want to say, I don't eat once a day. I eat the whole day. I mean, it is just breakfast, eggs and bacon, and then it's not 1 hour. Quickly, a peanut butter salmi, you know, and it's coffee and it's stuff. I just never stop, you know. Do it to the glory of God. There's a lot of glory going to God through my eating alone. Because there's a lot, okay? But I'm just saying, come on, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, it's such a simple thing, eating. I mean, if eating is to be for the glory of God, how much more? You know, you can eat alone, right? How much more a conversation I might have with Nicole that I run into at Spa? One of the 5 men that works with Barrett, or the 500,000 of his bosses. I mean, how much more than eating is a potential 5-second husband. Are your wife? She was ill. Niels' wife is pregnant. How's the baby? You know, I mean, how much more in a conversation with a person than eating a hot dog? Yet eating a hot dog can be to the glory of God. There's too much things. So what this is supposed to do to your brain right now is freak you out. Okay, can you feel that? How can I possibly bring every situation of every second of every day before God? There's no way. It's too exhausting stuff, right? Baron just saying, You see, the problem with the situation and the glory depend on how you look at it is that God cannot be separated from any situation at any moment in your life. That moment is either going to be glory unto Him or not. In that moment, you are either going to make Christ big and beautiful, or you're going to make Him small and ugly. You're either going to be an awesome ambassador for Christ in that moment, in between one of the people you meet, the stuff you eat, the way you talk, the hobbies you play, when you speak to your wife. You're either going to make Christ big or small. What we're saying tonight is, let's make thunder hit the ground. That is that moment when the way you act is God reaching through you to another person. Even those living closest to you, like your wife or your mom or your dad. You know, those are the people we often have the least grace for. Those that we love the most, you know, because they're in our space. We tend to treat them the worst. Let thunder hit the ground. Let what is glorious come down through us. Does it make sense, guys? Some people are looking at me as if I'm speaking another language. It's not Afrikaans, but it's not like Cause out or something. I'm just joking with you. You're listening nice. It's too overwhelming. So here's the answer, guys. Romans 12 verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers. By the way, that's the next verse. Romans 36 was the first one. This is the next one. So he first speaks and he says, for in him and through him and to him are all things. The previous verse, Romans 11 verse 36. You know what? In the original Bible, there was no chapters. Did you know that? It was just like written one like massive book. It was books. So the very smart, kind people divided it into chapters so that I can say, go to chapter 12 verse 1. And you can say, okay, right, quickly. There was no division. It was like Romans 11 came on one boat, Romans 12 on another boat, and they're like, thank you, Lord, we've got it all. It was one letter. So the very next verse, Romans 12 verse 1. Check this out. Here's the answer. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers. And that means sisters as well, just to make the sense clear. Everyone that is a son in Christ, even if you're a lady. By the mercies of God, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Make a mind shift here with me. Instead of thinking about what you're going to eat, who you're going to meet, where you're going to go, all that stuff that's happening through your life, remember, all things are for Him, right? Excluding nothing, except maybe one thing. But let's say all things, Chris. Everything that you are going to do that day is for Him. Instead of thinking of all those little things which will make you crazy, think of one thing. What? This body. Instead of thinking of everything this body is going to do, think of this body. One thing. And present your body a living sacrifice, holy to Him. If I think of more than three things, I go crazy. I'm not a woman. I can't do it. One thing at a time. If I'm hungry, I'm going to eat. That's it. Done. Don't ask me how was my day. If I have to think about all this stuff that's going to happen today, I'm going to go crazy. But I can handle one thing. Lord, here's my body. I'm going to go out today through that door. I'm going to get curveballs. People are going to come my way. People's going to say stuff to me. Some people's going to be friendly. Some's not going to be friendly. Some's going to make me mad. I can't keep up, Lord. Here's my body. Take it. I consecrate it. I give you my body. Is that a bit easier? I give you my body. God doesn't want a dead sacrifice. He wants a living one. That's why we don't fly into tall buildings and airplanes believing we're doing God a favor. He wants a living sacrifice from me and you. Now, I just want to entertain some of our theologians a bit. And now I need you to hold on to your seatbelt if you don't put yourself in that category, but you need it. You need to grow body, mind, and spirit. So let's go for the mind for 1 second. Living sacrifice? I mean, you must be joking. What sacrifices are you talking about? Didn't Christ do everything? Right? Didn't he like bear all our transgressions? Does he pay for 80% of our sins and then we must make up for the rest? No. The work Christ has done is in full. Are you with me? Do you agree with me? Nod your head. What is Paul talking about giving a sacrifice to God if Christ has done it all? There's two types of sacrifices mainly in the Bible. There's many subdivisions, but mainly you'll find two. Number one, maybe this is something you can learn tonight that you can store in your head for a good conversation one day. Number one, even in the Old Testament, the sacrifice of atonement. Afrikaans, salig maker. Jesus is ons salig maker. He's the one, he's our atonement. What does that mean? It means he has paid a price I cannot pay, so I receive it from him in thankfulness. I turn around and I live a different life. I was going in this direction. I meet him. He saves me. I turn around. I walk away. I changed my life, but the sacrifice was made by Christ. Are we together? Atonement. In the Old Testament, Christ had not died yet. God loved these people. He wanted to have relationship with Nicole, if Nicole lived in the Old Testament. But what the problem is, Nicole is a human, and so Nicole sins. God is too good. He cannot mix with sins because he doesn't like people being raped. He doesn't like your wife being beaten. He doesn't like people murdering babies. He cannot say yes to sin. So he makes a way. He says, if you kill this little lamb, he can take the punishment and we can have a relationship again. So every week or so, there's a lamb being killed and God has a relationship with God. That lamb stands in the place of an atonement. Are you with me? Christ comes, he is the final atonement. No more lambs. Please don't kill your dogs and stuff. You're not going to get saved through it, okay? You're going to have like a case against you from the SPCA or something. No more killing. It's done. Christ was the last lamb. Lamb of God. Everyone with me? Why is Paul talking about sacrifices? Number two. I think some of us will understand a lot more here. Do you know Joseph Prince, right? Very good book on grace. What's the title of that book? Someone asked. Kala? Grace something. Good book. Case on Grace. But the problem is, those guys only speak of number one. Not him, he's smarter, but his followers. So they say, there's nothing you can do, so you can keep on living in sin. You just go on doing what you're doing. Because remember, the sacrifice is in Christ, not in you. So you can do what you want, you just carry on. God is gracious, God is good. Settled. But that is wrong, because there's a second type of sacrifice, and it's called the sacrifice of acknowledgement, or danksegging, thanksgiving. And even in the Old Testament, there was this thing, a sacrifice of acknowledgement. And the setting went more or less like this. Egan Barrett called David and his army goes, and we go against the Philistines, and we beat them, and we get back home. And what are we? Because God said, go for it. We are thankful to God. God was with us today on the battlefield. So what do? We get a lamb. Yeah, I don't know. Crazy society. Chop its head off. Burn it. As a sacrifice to God to say thank you for being with us today in the battle. If it was not for you, we would have died out there. Our kids would have been taken. We are nothing without you. We thank you. We take our best box, give it to God. We take our best lamb, we give it to Him. We take the best grain, we say, God, I can't even afford to burn this grain to you, but you know what? I give it to you because I'm so thankful. I could have lost my life out there. David's three mighty men breaks through the ranks, bring him water. He says, I cannot drink this. God, this is for you. Thank you for preserving my life. It is not for sins. It's for thanksgiving. Number one, today the new covenant after Christ has come, it's done for. Please, you cannot buy your salvation. But if Christ has walked into your life, and if He has changed your heart around, and like David, I mean, he went out against the Philistines. I mean, you know your life. I don't know your story. But you know, since the day Jesus walked into your life, something has changed. And what comes out of you is a life of thanksgiving, or you give your body a living sacrifice to God of thankfulness. That's what Paul is talking about. God, you've done everything. You've left nothing undone on the cross. You gave it you all. Here's my body. What do you want me to do with my life? How do you want me to love my wife? What kind of dad you want me to be? What kind of man you want me to be? Just tell me, Lord, and I will do it. I'm going to open your word. Give me a Bible, please. I'm going to open your word, and I'm going to read this thing, and I'm going to eat it, and then I'm going to try and fashion my life according to your word. Let my body be a sacrifice to you. And God gives the church to help you so that you don't read some other crazy verse in the Old Testament, don't understand its context, and then go and, I don't know, do something weird. Because the Bible is not random verses, it's a story. It makes sense. So we're here to help one another. Amen? That's why we have this here. That's why we have small groups. I give you my life. Everyone with me? I know we're talking about thunder hitting the ground. That's what we're talking about. We offer thanksgiving. Because we are so thankful. How can missionaries sit in a place like Afghanistan? How can you do that? They understand something about thanksgiving. They are willing to give it all unto death. Because they know life goes on for eternity. How can someone be a missionary in Pakistan, live there? I mean, they bomb churches. If they don't, if you've got a new restaurant owner, they don't like your restaurant, they bomb you. He says that. Those guys, they just give their lives. I'm not saying go to Pakistan, no, guys. We're here for a reason in Secunda. We'll go on missions, we'll come back. For now. If you want to go to missions, talk to David afterwards. We're going to Nepal, we're going to Africa. Why are we going on missions? Giving our time? Money? Cost us? A few thousand rand? Takes our leave? That's little. That's nothing. Here's my time. I want to go share your gospel. Living sacrifice. Everyone with me? No, Nicole. I mean, you're prettier than Barron's, and people can look at something. Come stand there. There we go. Hands like that. All right, next slide. Sorry, I couldn't stop myself. I'm a biokineticist. You show me something like this, I like get kind of excited. All this stuff. Yeah, it's exciting, eh? Exciting. The engineers are saying boring. Now, give your body a living sacrifice. That's what the Bible says. I just want to ask, which part of Nicole's body does God want? No, you don't have to answer. You just smile. What part of Nicole's body does God want for his service? Gretchen? Everything, excluding Chris?
Nothing.
Nothing. God wants Nicole's whole body. Let's just stretch our thoughts here for a while. God wants her head. This is for God. And God wants to use it for other things through living for him. But this is mainly for him. So what must you do with this head? You need to, where's the Bible? You need to put something in here. Right? Not like literally, but you know, read it and memorize it. You know, make little paintings on your wall with scriptures. Put it in here. God wants this brain. That's what we use our brains for. I mean, that's not bad. Listen, I like watching rugby and stuff. But mainly, this brain is for God. The eyes, the ears, the mouth, made mainly to speak for God or speak to God. All things are given from him, to him, through him, for him. Nicole, your mouth is to make God big. Did you know that? I think you know. I don't know about that. I mean, your elbow. I mean, what a funny thing. God, what do you want to do with this thing? I mean, I don't know. I can think out a purpose for the knee. At least you can like go down on them and say, Lord, I'm going on my knees. I mean, what about the scapula? Oh, for that. I mean, what about the scapula? Just turn around. I mean, that's a bone right there. I mean, God wants to use this thing for his kingdom in some way. Maybe there's like a robber and you're like, I don't know, you can sit down. I mean, you get the picture. God wants our bodies a living sacrifice. I think God wants us to love him more than we love our bodies. We should take care of our bodies, right? But I think he wants us to love our calling and love him more than what we even love our personal safety. I mean, that's why missionaries can go in so-called closed countries where there's no gospel. I mean, it's going to remain closed forever. Someone needs to go in. I want to just quickly mention two types of living for God. Hopefully it's talking about a growth. Number one, you don't know God. You don't have a cooking clue. You do what you want. That's normal. If you don't know God, there's nothing in you, pointing you, speaking to you. You're just there. You're just using oxygen, waiting to be saved. All right? Then you get saved and then you grow. I want to talk about baby things first. What happens when you turn from sin in your life? What's the first thing that happens? You stop sinning. You love God, so you stop, right? So, I mean, you're going this way, you're doing what you want. I don't know, lessons in your head. You do stuff. You meet Christ. You're like, wow, Lord, what you've paid for me, what you've done for me, I'm turning around. And so this life you live, you leave behind. That's called repentance. If that doesn't happen in a person, the chances is they haven't met Christ. That's just the fact of it. So they turn around. That's a slow process. God has time. Changes are slow. Look at the disciples. Slow process. And you live another type of life. A baby Christian would say, I'm doing good because I don't smoke anymore. I'm doing good because I don't swear anymore. I'll give you better examples if you want to. I'm doing good because I don't look at porn anymore. Very important. I don't. I've ceased. Are you with me? Baby stuff. Unfortunately, most Christians remain there. How's your relationship with the Lord? It's kind of good. I don't smoke. I don't swear. I don't really Jews, girls, I don't. It's a good start, but listen, that's like being 2 years old in human life. You still have your nappies on. What is mature Christianity? Talk to me. We're moving over from what you don't do. Mature disciple, come on. You follow Jesus in everything you do, Nicole's answer. You move from not doing a bunch of stuff into engaging into service under Jesus. That's a mature disciple. A mature disciple takes ownership of his life, a living sacrifice. He engages into his calling. And it's not about what he does not do. It's about what he is busy with as he follows Christ. If you are called to be someone by God that leads a lot of people to the Lord, someday you're going to have to lead one person to the Lord. One day you're going to lead thousands to Him, but for somewhere you have to start with one. And by saying, I don't do, you will remain a baby. You have to engage into what God has for you. And that's where the living sacrifice comes in. Who of you in this place know that God has a calling for you? Put your hand up. There's a lot of people, almost all of us. I'm not saying this to break you down, I'm saying this to help you. What are you doing about it? I mean, you guys are amazing. I see you guys, a lot of guys, I mean, you are working on it. I'm asking you, what are you doing about it? Not doing a bunch of stuff, it will not take you anywhere. Are you with me? It is important, amen? Jesus said, go and sin no more. I forgive you, go and sin no more. It's a start. Think about those things you've done. Repent about it. To a friend, even better, bring it out and receive healing from God. Move over and say, Lord, what now? Here's my calendar, here's my hands, my face, my elbow, scapula. Lead me. Talk to me. Thunder hitting the ground. What's happening in here between you and God? Coming out. People see it, people ask questions. What's up with you? No, it's not me, it's God. Come for coffee, I'll tell you all about it. That's thunder hitting the ground, questions being asked. Everyone with me? I'm enjoying myself. You here, I've got the mic. Now, when I talk about this, and I've been hammering this away, I'm going to keep on with this until we get it. If I had a certain crowd in America and I'm preaching exactly this message from Scripture, they would say, don't tell us to do anything. Christ has done everything. Right? We handle that. But let's just quickly just nail the coffin here. Legalism is the word they will use. Or in Afrikaans, wetties. Yes, the wetties. Yes, doen goed. Maar dit niks uit te wijken, niks nie. You are trying to please God. This is legalism. Legalism is what you do to gain favor with God. So who's the legalist in the New Testament, guys? It's the Pharisees. If you do all these things, God will love you. And they've got, I think, over 600 stuff. That is legalism. If you do it, God will love you. Are we into legalism? No, we don't like it. Legalism is anything I do so that Christ will be accepting of me. Okay, so what we see now, who likes the book of Romans? Someone? Oh, Janae, and you guys are doing the book of Romans in your study group, right? Remember this, if you're reading through Romans, maybe you want to do after tonight. Check this out. Romans 1 to 11 is almost like a different book than Romans 12 to, what's it, 16? Check it out. Romans 1 to Romans 11. Paul writes about everything Christ has done for us. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory. We are all dirty. We have all sinned. We can do nothing for God. And then he goes on to explain how we are new in Christ, a new creation. He has done everything. And he goes on until Romans 11. It's only just Christ, what he has done for us. Romans 12. Boom, our first verse for tonight. Therefore, a big line, everything Christ has done, up to Romans 12 verse 1. Therefore, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Christ has done all these things, attaining your salvation, eternal life, ewige lewe. And you accept him, and then there's this line in Romans, boom. Now, go and live this way. Then, as of Romans 12, Romans gets specific. I'm going to show you a list of stuff now. Can you just skip one slide, please? After Romans 12 to 16, Romans tells us how to live. Self-esteem. It talks about church. There's a leader, submit to him, come under the blessing of submitted. It's speaking about the body moving together, hypocrisy, affection for friends, money matters, hospitality, government, tax, sleeping around, sex, jealousy, etc. It's called by the name. The first section of Romans is just about Christ doing a work in us. The second section is us responding to him, saying, God, because you have done, will that then be called legalism? Come on, guys. Why not? Why is that not legalism when the Bible is specific about those things? I want a good answer.
I know. I think it's because it works the other way around. Because Christ has done something for you, you now do that. It's not you doing this so that Christ will come.
The order is important. Where's my wife? Just put your hand in the air. Hello, are you okay in the back? Surviving, okay. Now, listen here. Legalism in our marriage will look like this. My wife is terrified at home. I'm coming back. I'm somewhere, maybe at rugby practice. She's terrified. She's not sure whether I love her. So she cooks me this meal. What? Give me ideas. Steak and chips and salad and Coke Zero, my favorite. And she's just got it all ready. But she's trembling because, it's almost 8. And I'm coming home and she is so scared. She just hopes I will love her. And so when I come in through the door, she's like, "Loving, here's your food. Here's your food. Sit here." And she pulls out the chair for me. Can you believe it? It's not the other way around. I mean, she goes out, she quickly washes my car and closes the gate. After she mowed the lawn. And she just hopes that I will love her. That would be legalism, if I can use an analogy. Love is the opposite. I'm at rugby practice, and this is what Romans is all about. My wife is absolutely assured that I love her. She can't wait for me to come home because she has cooked me a meal. And you know what? When she sees my face, it just gives her a kick. Because she loves feeding me. And I love eating. Because the Bible says, whether you eat or drink, do it to the glory of God. But she's not shaking. I mean, she's walking around the house and she's putting up flowers and stuff. She's just doing her thing. She is happy. That is not legalism. It's plain, good old-fashioned love. I'll just end the evening right there. Okay? Now, when Christ speaks to us in this way, this is the picture we get. He loves us. We know that. That's why we sing. We love him, guys. We don't work for our salvation. We are so much in love with him. We are ready to order our lives. To show the world how valuable he is to us. Amen. That definition for us. Right? So this is where we hit the last nail in the coffin. Just a previous slide, Rudy, if you don't mind. Check this out. When the Bible, especially Romans 12 verse 14, you ladies probably there already in your Bible study group. When it gets specific about stuff, it is not getting legalistic. It's getting serious about the visibility of our amazing God being expressed through our bodily behavior for the testimony and the salvation of this world. Amen. We're almost done. You guys learning something here tonight? You're getting excited? talking about thunder in the ground, we're talking about God coming through in your life in visible terms. Romans 12 verse 1, you're going to know this verse by the end of the night, I'm telling you that. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And now I'm going to do something I like to do. Just shake a bit, again, our thoughts around spirituality. We would often say someone is spiritual if they see a lot of visions. Or they speak in tongues a lot and have interpretations. Or, believe it or not, sometimes we think someone is spiritual when they dress weird. It's weird how we think. It's the truth, right? I mean, we think spiritual is something like weird. But look at what the Bible says. It says, if you give your body a living sacrifice to God, it is your spiritual worship. I'm going to use the same example I used this morning in Standerton. You can be a farmer. Think of a farmer, please. You know, someone, everyone needs to know one farmer, except maybe Chris, because we don't know farmers. Think about a pharmacist. Okay. Think about a farmer, but think about the most old-fashioned farmer you can think of. Check shirt, boots, like a, what's that, pants, khaki brook. Think about an old-fashioned man. Now this man, he doesn't serve the Lord yet. He doesn't tithe, takes all the money he makes, puts it in his own pocket, left for himself. He's got a special relationship with the farmer's wife next door. I mean, he's sleeping around there. He's got his own little thing going. He's doing his own thing. And then one day, this farmer meets Jesus Christ. He doesn't change his clothes or something, or his funny hat. But he changes his life. He reads in the Bible, Malachi, bring your tithes into the storehouse, and God, and he just gets it about living for God. Everything changes his life. He sorts out the story next door. He starts caring for his wife, caring for his kids. His whole life changes. His body has changed, his behavior, right? Now this guy doesn't even speak in tongues. It's his spiritual worship. Done. He was living in a certain way. He met Christ. He changed around and he went the other way. It is spiritual worship. The heavens rejoice. The testimony of that man will stand in that tower. Amen? That is what it's all about. Give me someone with a heart of that. Tonight we will pray for people also to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Give me a heart like that, that is sold out for God. And now, let that person grow in the gifts of God, which we may think that is spiritual, but now let that grow into that person, and now you've got it all. Amen? It is spiritual when a human being, some of us must leave our parents alone. Did you know that? Look, we are a charismatic church, guys. Some of our parents have been serving the Lord for years. They love Him. They've brought you up in that house. I'm not saying leave them alone as never testify, but don't judge them. They love the Lord. They've come a long way. And they've changed their lives in a spiritual and God's side. If they ask you, be ready with the answer. Love them, bless them, pray for them. Maybe by doing that, they'll change faster. Amen. Our spiritual service. Guys, we practice tonight. Tonight we're going to do this. We practice coming to the front. We must respond to God in this place if we want to see this town move. The Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive ourselves. How often do we repent in front of each other these days? Do we even do it? Tonight we're going to do it again. So let's go to that next verse. If we want to start living for God, if we want to start seeing thunder coming through us, we need to start with repentance. And it's going to start with me. I'm the authority in this church, and I'm first in line. Lord, forgive me for the times I've hardened my heart, for the times I've not listened. But I'm ready to go for you. Look at what the Bible says. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Is you need healing in your life? I'm not talking physical now, but I'm not excluding it, Chris. You got baggage on your shoulder? You've hurt from the past? You know how you get it off? You repent. Because either someone hurt you, and you've got anger in your heart towards them, you know that anger will kill you. It'll kill something of who you are, even though they were wrong. Let them go. Forgive them. Amen? Forgive them. Maybe you were the one that was not wrong, but that acted wrong. Ask forgiveness. Maybe you need to find someone tonight. Maybe you need to SMS someone tonight and say, you know what, when that happened, please forgive me for that. You will be healed, mark my words. Maybe you're suffering in friendships. Just like you just can't keep a friend. Maybe you're edgy. You must be healed. It starts with repentance. God's ready to heal us, guys. Are you with me? So we're going to pray that prayer tonight. Another thing we're going to do, we go to the next slide. We're going to ask the Lord to empower us by His Holy Spirit. Jesus says, when the Helper comes, whom I send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, He will bear witness. Guys, you cannot bear witness to Christ. You don't have it in you. I don't have it in me. But the Holy Spirit is ready and able and willing to help us bear witness to Christ. And that's what we want to see. Thunder hitting the ground. Acts 1 verse 8 says, we will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Has the Holy Spirit come upon you? Now it's a long teaching, but if you receive Christ, you have the Holy Spirit with you, helping you. But receiving the Holy Spirit, opening your heart to the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, come and help me, come and fill me. It is a different event altogether. The disciples got filled with the Holy Spirit only in Acts. They've been serving Jesus from Matthew. We'll go into that in depth at Foundations, and maybe one day we'll preach about that as well. But if this is ringing in your ear, being filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to respond tonight. If you want more of God, come to the front, and tonight we're going to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can be a better witness. Does that make sense? So we're going to pray for mainly two things. And I think it involves all of us, guys. So let's not be shy. Let's come to the front and have a little prayer here. If there's something you need to bring to the light, go to someone you trust and say, you know what, I've sinned against God. I want to right now just repent of A, B, and C. Lord, forgive me and receive your healing. Number two, I want to pray for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight. So that when we go out, we can bear witness. Amen. Warren, if you can just minister for us softly in the background. Guys, let's just stand up tonight in this place. I'm excited because I just feel that what we have here will not stay in this place. Today, Warren told me, I don't know, I think it was probably less than a year ago. Now listen to this. David, just come standing next to me. So what happened that evening is they had church, right? So Warren was in the band with four other people. Lishan was flipping the slides, and there was one person in the service. It was David. Okay? Five people in the band, one person on projector, and David. I don't even know why they have projector. David knows all the words. Today there's a lot of people. You know why? Because the calling God has on this church, which you automatically run with when you have a relationship with us, is what happens here. It goes out the door. And every Sunday there's just more chairs full. And that's what the Great Commission is about. To take the good news out to the places where we live and stay. Does it make sense, guys? Now, we're going to have some prayer in front, and it's going to be awesome. I want you simply just to split the room in two. If you want to first get something off your chest, pray with a friend. Come this side. you say, Nicole, I just want to bring this thing before God. I have neglected God. God has been speaking to me about praying more, but I have sinned. I've not listened. Whatever the thing is, maybe it's something small, maybe it's something big. Bring it up. Confess your sin to one another and you will be healed. That's going to happen on this side. On this side, you're saying, Lord, I need power to testify truly of who you are. I want to be a living sacrifice, but it's like I just do my own thing and nothing happens. Come do it through me, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, this side. Okay? So, I'm just going to help us in this process. Let's just close our eyes. Okay? I'm just going to facilitate this problem for us to make it not awkward. Lord, thank you for this moment. Thank you for these awesome people. Look, I see faces in front of me. Excited about being in Secunda, Lord. It's better than Cape Town. I see these people, Lord, and I just love them. But Lord, the truth is you even love them more, and you've got a plan for them. And some of the people standing under the sound of my voice, Lord, has got callings way bigger than mine. Lord, we want every person to excel, even if they excel past me, Lord. That's what I want. But for that, we need boldness and courage. Tonight, Lord, I pray for a spirit of courage and bravery among us tonight, in the name of Jesus. While you're standing there with your eyes closed, I want to help us. If you feel there's a block in your way with God, there's something that happened or something that you did or something that you did not do, and it's really blocking you, it's really like irritating you because you're ready to shake this weight off your shoulders, but it is still there, and you're just saying, God, tonight, I am throwing this weight down because I'm going places with you. Then I want you to put your hand up. But not half of it. Thanks for those hands. Put it high up. Say, Lord, I've gone up to here. I draw a line in the sand. You have more for me. Thanks for those hands, guys. I'm not going to rush this. I'm helping us here tonight. Thanks for the hands coming up all over. Lord, I've been moving, but this weight has been slowing me down. It's really been hurting me and my relationships. Tonight, I want to be healed of A, B, or C, whatever that is. If there's someone else, just want to put your hand up. I'm just helping you tonight. I'm facilitating this thing of us being stationary. Thanks for that hand. Even 30 more seconds. Is there anyone else that says, you know what? Thanks for that hand, buddy. Thanks for that hand, buddy. I want to move faster. I know I can do it. I draw a line in the sand tonight. Now I know it's difficult, but I'm helping you with this. If you've put up your hand, be courageous. You can bring your partner with if you want, but come to the front. I'm helping us. To this side, did I say? Okay? Come, guys. I then want a bunch of facilitators to come in here. Cornell, Janae, if you can. Brendan, Anne-Marie. And just get someone and start praying. Tonight, that weight gets taken off your shoulders. But before you pray, just hold on. Because this time we're going to pray for us for power. Okay? So the Holy Spirit can fill us. And I'm wanting you guys to wait because if you're done and you say, listen, when I'm done dropping my weight that side and I receive my healing, I want to come and be filled with the Holy Spirit and you walk over from that side to this side. I will be here. Cole, can you maybe just put down your base and come and help me here? Ladies, help, please. If you say, listen, you don't have to know what it's all about, you just need to have your heart right. You just want more of God for where I am. We're going to pray for you for the infilling of the Holy Spirit so that He will be your witness, a witness for God to your workplace. Amen. So let's do that prayer as well. Eyes closed. I'm helping us tonight until we get this. Okay, everyone's eyes closed. Believers are praying. If you are in this place tonight, okay, it's almost like a small group here, we have a relationship, and you want your testimony of Christ at the workplace to be worth more. If you want thunder to hit the ground at your workplace, and you know you need the help of the Holy Spirit, I want you to put your hand up. Thank you for that hand, but not halfway, all the way. Okay, because we're doing it all the way here. Thank you for all those hands. I'm going to give 20 more seconds. Thank you for those guys on this side as well. Some of you may be scared, but that Don't let fear, remember what I told you about fear. Fear makes you think small, takes all your courage. Okay? If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to put your hand up very high. Thank you for those guys, even that put your hands up three times. Now, I'm helping you guys. I want you guys to come this side, to my side, okay? I'm going to pray for you. Everyone that hands up for the Holy Spirit. We're going to trust the Lord to release awesome things in your life. Awesome. You guys in the back that's saying you can pray, you can sing a bit. Can I get some facilitators? If you've prayed for someone for the Holy Spirit before, then you're welcome to come and help this side. Amen.
Fill me completely so that I can do